This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, today's Thursday, and let me tell you what's going on. Julio Jones has been holding out. He's seeing that guys like Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins making more money annually than he is right now. So he figures holding out is the next best possible thing to do. So that way, you get paid more money. Alright? Only problem there is that I believe Julio Jones has about 2-3 more years left on his contract. Okay? Julio can't just sit out the season and wait till they give him a new deal. So his contract's up in 2020. So he's got 3 more seasons to play with the Falcons. Alright. There's no leverage there for him to get a new deal done. So, we'll be talking about all that. Falcons not saying they're not going to be paying him. Okay, we got some NBA news. Jabari Parker says you don't get paid to play defense. Welcome to the new NBA, folks. All right, welcome to the new NBA. We'll get some MLB talk in. Tiger Woods, talk about him too, playing in the Open. All right, is he going to be able to win this time? Who knows? I mean, we'll give my thoughts on all that. And then, like I said, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports today. All right. No show tomorrow. I won't be in. So this will be the last show of the week. But nonetheless, it'll be the probably best one of the week, I'd say. All right. So let's get into the whole Julio Jones and Atlanta Falcons. All right. So actually, let me get it right now. So players making more annually, wide receivers, I should say, making more annually than Julio Jones. Those are Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, Antonio Brown, AJ Green, Devontae Adams, Sammy Watkins. Let's see, am I missing anyone else? No, I am not. All right, so those are the names making more annually than Julio Jones. Okay. How many of those players that I named can you say are better than Julio Jones? All right. I'd say Antonio Brown, you can make the argument. Well, Antonio Brown, I'd say, yeah. And then after that, I'm assuming that if you want to put Hopkins or anyone over Julio, there must be a favorite player of yours, or you just think they're that good. All right. Julio's probably the second best receiver in the league right now. And there's about 5, 6, 7 other players making more money than him. Okay. And I mean, as far as the guaranteed money goes, Julio does have the most, like, third most guaranteed money. But nonetheless, you don't want to be making less than the guys around you. Alright. So now we're at a point where if the Falcons aren't going to be working out a deal with Julio, then does he just show up? Okay, is this going to be a holdout where he doesn't show up till the end of training camp? All right. And we got plenty of other players holding out right now, too. It's not just Julio Jones. All right, guys like Khalil Mack holding out, looking for new deals. Okay. Aaron Donald, I'm assuming, has got to be holding out. I mean, that's a bold move by the Rams. Okay. Usually you want to keep the players you drafted and all that happy, especially considering the fact when they are the best defensive tackle in football. But for the Rams to give a long-term extension to a guy they just signed this summer, I mean, that's a bold move there. That can be good for front office and Aaron Donald relations, I'm telling you. All right. I wonder when that deal's going to get done, if it ends up getting done. I mean, he is a restricted free agent this offseason. Well, the one that's going to be coming up. But nonetheless, I mean, someone offers him an absurd deal, and there's no way the Rams are matching it. All right. So, I mean, maybe they work something out while he's still on the team, but chances are if he becomes a free agent, I don't see them getting any deal done. All right. It won't be that hard to get Aaron Donald away from the Rams. But nonetheless, I mean, there's been talk all offseason, this offseason, about there being problems between the Falcons and Julio Jones. Okay. And I mean, they're just more so rumblings than anything, but just points of he's not happy with the team, he hasn't really talked with the players, and stuff like that usually comes out. And it usually just gets brushed to the side because you're not sure how true it is. And usually we do see something like that coming out about a certain player every year. All right, so you're just basically looking, how much of a problem is this? It's probably not that big of a deal. Okay? I mean, but when you look at it, they did take a receiver with their first pick in the first round. All right? And they did take another one in the sixth round. I mean, last time I checked, unless I'm completely mistaken, you still got Mohamed Sanu on that team. Okay? And you do. He's been your number two receiver over the last couple of years. Okay? And unless his production has just severely dropped as a number two, it doesn't make sense to take two receivers in your draft, especially one in the first round. Okay? I mean, you take a guy, a receiver in the first round, that's usually because you're going to make that your number one guy, but you got Julio Jones already there. All right? So that's where we circle back around and figure, you know what, maybe those reports of him not being happy with the team or and stuff like that are true. Okay? There could be problems within that organization between Julio and that front office. All right? Because that kind of makes it, has it make more sense with you taking Calvin Ridley. I mean, like I said, you don't take a receiver in the first round unless you're expecting him to become your number one receiver going forward. All right, that'd just be a waste of a pick. Unless the Falcons feel that they're pretty much set at every position, so you have the luxury of taking, I guess, would I say best player available there? I'm assuming at that pick, yeah. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, do I think this will affect the Falcons going forward? It could. I don't really think it will. Okay. I think Julio Jones is professional enough to, even though he's not happy with his contract, show up and pretty much excel what he does. I mean, the only problem with Julio last season as far as the stats go was that Steve Sarkisian just wasn't drawing up enough plays for him. I mean, it was a bit ridiculous how little Julio Jones would get the ball sometimes. All right, and when they get to the red zone, it's like they don't even look his way. And I mean, that could be something that's all building up too. All right, Julio's not happy with his contract situation. Also, maybe could be a little bit frustrated at the way plays were called last season. Plus, you drafted a guy at his position with your first pick. All right. Usually it takes a while for everyone to put two and two together, but nonetheless, like I said, this could be a possibility. I'm not saying it is, but NFL players are human. Okay. And Julio, like I said, he's got three more seasons left with the Falcons before that this deal is up. I mean, as far as trades and all that go, Julio won't get traded from the Falcons. There's absolutely no way. All right. You don't trade your number two or your pretty much your best player on offense anywhere. All right. And if I'm the Falcons, I mean, yeah, they have Julio has no leverage, so there's really no point of them to give him a pay raise. But nonetheless, I mean, that is your best player on offense, and you do, I'm assuming, want to keep Julio as a Falcon for the rest of his career. All right. But actually, do they? Julio is 29 right now. Let me pull up his current deal and see what it's looking like going forward as far as any opt-outs or anything like that. So Julio's 29 right now. All right, let me see if I can find his birthday. They don't got it on here, but nonetheless, all right, he'll be 30 in 2019, 31 in 2020. When he becomes an unrestricted free agent, he'll be 32. Okay. After that, I'm assuming he's probably not going to be getting a big money contract. All right. Unless he's absolutely outperforming his age and he's still one of the best receivers at that time. Okay. So, I mean, in reality, if you're the Falcons, you could sit back and wait. Okay. Because, I mean, once his contract's up, you're not going to have to pay him probably more than what you're paying him already. Okay. So there's no point, I guess, in raising this pay when this is probably the most you're going to have to pay him for the rest of his career. I mean, that does, I guess, risk the situation of him leaving the Falcons at the end of his deal. But nonetheless, like I said, by the time he's 32, who knows how well he's going to be producing at that time at that wide receiver position. Okay. I mean, this year he's got a nearly $13 million cap hit. 2019, nearly 15, and then 2020, it's nearly 11.5. All right. So I mean, he's got a, as of right now, from what the market dictates about receivers, he's got a pretty team-friendly deal. All right. And I don't think the Falcons are going to be changing that anytime soon. So, I mean, are there problems going on within the Atlanta Falcons and Julio Jones? Possibly. I mean, the signs point to it. But nonetheless, I mean, we'll probably never find out. And either way, I mean, Julio's going to be a Falcon for the next 3 seasons. All right. There's no way in the world the Falcons would even think about trading him, I think. So, we'll just wrap it up there. Next up, we're going to be talking about some NBA news. So, stay tuned and I will be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about the Falcons and Julio Jones. Seems like the Falcons will not be giving Julio Jones a pay raise on his current deal. All right, and honestly, it doesn't make any sense for them to. I mean, he's got 3 more seasons left under contract. And, I mean, as of right now, there's about 7 or so guys making more than him annually. So, I mean, it's a pretty team-friendly deal according to the market right now. So, like I said, yeah, it'd make no sense to give him a pay raise considering the fact that, I mean, by the time this deal's up, he'll be 32. And chances are no one's going to be paying him more than 14 and a quarter at that time unless he's still producing at a high level. All right. So, I mean, I agree with Julio. I think he probably deserves a pay raise, but there's no reason for the Falcons to give it to him. So, we move on from there. I mean, might cause problems with between Julio and the front office, but nonetheless, I mean, if he's showing up for work, Falcons don't really have much to worry about there. All right, so now we move on to the NBA. Okay, Celtics, not too many free agent questions and decisions surrounding them this time. Last year, it was more so going after Gordon Hayward, the year before that, going after a guy like Al Horford. Now, it's more so sign back your guys who have been there. All right. One of those guys, Marcus Smart, was a restricted free agent this offseason. All right. Was linked to the Nets, was linked to the Kings for a bit. Nothing real serious as far as the market surrounding him. It seemed like the Celtics were maybe just going to let it play out and probably just have him sign his qualifying offer and then let him become a free agent next season. But nonetheless, Boston just said, forget it, we'll just ink you to a long-term deal. Gave him 4 years, $52 million. That's about, what, $13 million? All right. So I think it's about what Marcus Smart was expecting, probably about $13-14 million a year. Some may think maybe that's a lot for a guy who can't shoot. But nonetheless, I mean, with the cap rising up each year, it seems, I mean, $12-13 million is going to seem like nothing in a couple of years. All right. And I mean, Boston is paying a lot for a guy who, yes, can't shoot. Let's see, his field goal percentage last season was at 36%. 2016, it was at 35%. All right, 2015, he was at 34%. 2014, he was at 36%. All right, well, actually, 2014, 2017, this past season was probably his best, yeah, it was his best field goal percentage shooting season so far in his career. All right. Last year, or this past season, averaged 10 points. The year before that, averaged 10. So, I mean, he's not been a big, how do you say, scorer or anything like that. All right? But, of course, I mean, you're going to feel his impact on the defense. He's going to do the intangible things. All right? Been averaging a steal and a half over his career. So, I mean, yeah, his numbers aren't going to show up on paper. He's not going to fill up the box score or anything like that. But, nonetheless, you are going to see his impact. And as far as Boston, I mean, going forward, you do need a guy like Marcus Smart on that team. All right? Pretty much that spark off the bench. He's not going to go. He's not going to take 15 shots off the bench or anything like that. But nonetheless, there is going to be an impact, and it is going to make your team better. So, I mean, I think it was smart of Boston to go out and just get on the front foot of it and just ink him to a long-term deal that way. All right? Because, I mean, there is a possibility with like teams like the Kings, okay? No one wants to come play in Sacramento. So, the Kings are always going to have to tend to overpay to get their free agents if they do end up getting a free agent on any given offseason. Okay. Boston's giving Marcus Smart like $13 million. What if the Kings said, you know what, we'll give you a 4-year, $60 million deal where you're making $15 million a year? All right. Of course, that's a bit high for Marcus Smart, but nonetheless, I mean, Kings got to overpay to get players to Sacramento. All right. You think Boston would match a 4-year, $60 million deal? I'm assuming they wouldn't. Okay. For Marcus Smart, at least. So, because it's smart of them to go out and just give him the long-term deal. I mean, I'm sure the only teams left who could sign free agents like Marcus Smart are the teams who are pretty bad, but nonetheless have a lot of money to spend still. All right, that's why you see now teams like the Hawks looking to get Carmelo Anthony so they can just end up eating his contract up and buying it out. All right, so we'll see, but nonetheless, Marcus Smart still a Celtic. All right, keeps them a little bit more intact now that they have to deal with the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard. All right, so we've had a day to think about that move. I still think it was a panic move by the Raptors. I think this offseason has been a whole total panic move for them. Okay, the Raptors are a good team, and I think that they maybe tried a little bit hard here. Plus, getting rid of the guy, one of the only guys who have ever wanted to spend the rest of their career in Toronto, is a bit of a bold move there. I'm not sure. I don't think the fans of Toronto, too, are relatively happy with this deal. All right. Some I think I've seen are under the impression, oh, we get to Kawhi Leonard for a season. Maybe if we win it, he'll want to stay long term. Others are realizing we just gave up a guy who wanted to be here long term for a guy who, for all we know, might not even play for us this season. All right. It was a very risky deal by the Raptors. And, I mean, it is one where it does put him into finals contention. I mean, it doesn't put him on the level of the Warriors, and I'm not saying, like, going into finals contention means they could hang with him, but nonetheless, I mean, this Kawhi Leonard is the kind of player who he can get you to the finals, okay? You can build a team around Kawhi Leonard. And, I mean, looking at the team they got now, they didn't really give up any, like, too big of an important piece or anything like that. Like, yeah, you gave up DeMar DeRozan, but you got Kawhi Leonard in return. All right, you gave up Jakob Poeltl after that, but, I mean, I feel like you're not really going to miss his presence on that team. All right. Plus, the first round pick you gave up is 1 through 20 protected. If that pick does end up turning into 1 through 20, then the Spurs end up getting 2 second round picks. All right. And I don't think the Raptors are really sweating 2 second round picks. All right. So, I mean, as far as a win now type move, I mean, I guess it's a smart one, but as far as long term and future move, it's a bit of a risk taker here, because I mean, there is a possibility that Kawhi Leonard just does end up staying with the Raptors long term. Okay. And people say, oh yeah, that's not going to end up happening. He's going to leave for sure. Yeah, we all thought Paul George was going to be leaving OKC for sure. Okay, I thought for sure Paul George was going to be going to the Lakers. From near LA, all right, grew up a Lakers fan, has talked openly about wanting to play for the Lakers. Why on earth would you stay in Oklahoma City instead of going to LA? All right, we all figured it was a wrap. Paul George didn't even take a meeting with the Lakers and just resigns to stay in OKC. Okay. And I think, too, if Kawhi Leonard were to extend with the Raptors compared to signing a max with the other team, he'd make more with the Raptors. So it is a possibility. All right. Plus, Kawhi Leonard wants to play in a big media market. Toronto's the biggest one in Canada. All right. So, I mean, it could work out. It could. But it's a big if. But like I said, we've seen crazier things happen. Like I said, a la Paul George. Okay. So we'll see you there. Nonetheless, more NBA news. Jabari Parker, man. These young kids just say the darndest things. Okay. Jabari Parker basically said, yep, I don't get paid to play defense. Okay. They don't really judge you on defense. Maybe this is why the Bucks let Jabari Parker basically go for relatively nothing. Okay. He was on a radio show in Chicago. Says he sticks to his strengths. Says, look at everybody in the league. They don't pay players to play defense. There's only two people historically that play defense. I'm not going to say I won't, but to say that's a weakness is like saying that's everybody's weakness. Because I've scored 30 and 20 on a lot of guys that say they play defense. All right. That was said on 670, the score in Chicago on Wednesday. That is a bold take by Jabari Parker. Let me tell you that. Okay. And I'm assuming, since Jabari Parker thinks it, there's a lot of the guys in the NBA with that same mindset. It's just Jabari Parker was one of the few who didn't have a problem voicing it. All right. And I mean, this isn't news or anything like that. This is the first time I think someone's openly admitted, yeah, I don't like to play defense, basically. Okay. I mean, Kyrie Irving, for the better part of his career, I mean, last year in Boston, he did show he could play a little bit of defense, but for the most part, he's been a guy who doesn't play a real big defense. Isaiah Thomas can't play defense. Okay. Carmelo Anthony doesn't play defense. Rondo, since he left Boston, hasn't played defense. LeBron doesn't play really defense. Okay. Let's see, who else? The Denver Nuggets don't play defense. All right. Damian Lillard. I mean, the list goes on. We are in a league where defense isn't that important, okay? The only places where you'll see teams play hard defense is Boston, Miami, San Antonio, Utah, the well-coached teams, okay? The teams where coaching does matter, and those are basically the big four right there, all right? The Warriors, I'd say, the Warriors play defense, and I think there's a pattern there. All right, the most well-run teams, the teams with the best coaches, play defense. Okay. I mean, it is true. Like Indiana, they play defense. They're very well coached. But, yeah, it is true that a lot of the league doesn't play defense anymore. What Jabari Parker said isn't wrong. It's probably not going to be greatly accepted or anything like that, or welcomed with his comments, but he is right. League doesn't play defense. Okay. And it's just the way it is. I mean, now we're more so looking, all right, how many points did he put up rather than how many turnovers did he cause? How many steals did he come up with? All right. And I mean, there's not too many guys in the league who, besides Marcus Smart and maybe a handful of others, who are playing because of the fact that they can't shoot and you can only play defense. All right. If you're going to stay in the league that way, you have to be one of the best defenders in the league. So, I mean, what Jabari Parker says sounds bad at first, but when you think about it, I mean, the guy's not wrong, okay? Defense hasn't really been a big priority in the NBA since the Warriors made shooting three-pointers cool, all right? But nonetheless, I mean, that's the way it goes. So, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we'll be talking about Tiger a bit, talking about the Open, also get into some MLB stuff, so stay tuned and I'll be right back.
check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked about Julio Jones, and in the last segment, we talked about some NBA news, talked about Kawhi Leonard trade a day after it happened, we talked about Marcus Smart extending with the Celtics, and then we talked about Jabari Parker and his comments about NBA players not playing defense and all that. Well, during the break, I saw Carmelo Anthony has been traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, the Thunder are sending Anthony and a protected 2022 first-round pick to Atlanta for Dennis Schroeder and Mike Muscala. Anthony's going to get bought out, can join the team of his choice, and Woj says that the Rockets are the front runners. Okay, so this all just happened right now. I think it's a good deal for both. Okay, Dennis Schroeder didn't have a spot on that Hawks team. I don't think Dennis Schroeder wanted to be on that Hawks team. So now he gets to go to a team where, I mean, he did say he wanted to go to a team who could contend and make the playoffs. All right, the Thunder, I mean, we know that they have no shot at winning a title or anything like that. Paul George and Russell Westbrook, I'm sure, have some type of confidence where they figure, we can do this, we can make it that far. Okay? So, I mean, sending Dennis Schroeder there, I think, is a great move. The Thunder team now has Schroeder as their backup point guard. Position they've been trying to fill for a while. Okay? They thought maybe Cameron Artis Payne was the answer to that. No, he wasn't. Dennis Schroeder could start on a lot of these NBA teams. Okay. I mean, Dennis Schroeder, I feel like, is pretty much the forgotten one of the NBA. All right? People tend to forget that, yeah, he did push Jeff Teague out of Atlanta. All right. And I mean, looking at their point guard situation right now, you got Raymond Felton right there. Dennis Schroeder is miles 10 times better than Raymond Felton. All right. Dennis Schroeder is that much better. So, I mean, that's an upgrade right there. And I mean, as far as it goes, you can't play Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder on the court at the same time. All right. So I do like this move there. And as far as Carmelo Anthony, his time in Oklahoma City was memorable, okay, to say the least. Whether or not it was good memories or bad memories is up to you. But nonetheless, I mean, this is a good move for both him and Oklahoma City. Okay. It just didn't work out. And I mean, I don't know why anyone thought it would. Okay. But Carmelo Anthony's at the point right now where he's about 32, 33. Okay, I think he might even be 34. All right. There's only one guy from that 2003 draft who's playing well. That's LeBron. Melo is just on the back end of his career. Okay. But I do think the Rockets are the only place where I think we could see some improvement from him, meaning he'll just be a whole lot better than last season. Okay. I'm not saying Melo's going to go out and give the Rockets 26 a game or anything like that, but nonetheless, it'll be way better than that garbage he was putting out last season with the Thunder. All right? Melo isn't really as athletic as he once was. All you got to do in Houston is sit at the three-point line. All right? CP3 is going to give you the ball a whole lot sooner than Russell Westbrook would have. Okay? And when you have the ball in your hands, chances are they're just drawing up an isolation play for you. All right? That's basically Melo right there. ISOs and three-point shots. Okay? So that's why I think he could work out there. I mean, of course, none of them would play any defense or anything like that. So they'd be scoring about 130, giving up 125, maybe 131 on some days. But nonetheless, I mean, I think he'd work out well there. All right. And I mean, there is the random team who, like I said, use the Charlotte Hornets, okay? Who's to say Michael Jordan right now? His goal is to make the playoffs. That's why they brought Tony Parker to be the backup, okay? You don't bring Tony Parker in because you're rebuilding. Maybe he's like, we got some money to spend right here. Hey, Melo, why don't you come over here? We'll give you a three-year, $30 million deal or whatever. All right? You lead us to the playoffs all 3 years. People say, oh, why would Michael Jordan do that? I don't know. Why would you draft Kwame Brown? Why would you draft Adam Morrison? All right? Makes no sense, right? Nonetheless, he did it. Okay? Plus, Melo's a Jordan brand athlete. I mean, it's not as crazy as it sounds. All right? And I could have you thinking right now, oh, yeah, Michael Jordan could do that. Melo could end up on the Hornets. Okay? So if that does end up happening, like he doesn't go to Houston or any other contender and he ends up at Charlotte, I want credit for that. Okay? But nonetheless, yeah, Melo now on the move. And I mean, you got to figure, how many more years does he have left? Okay? Because I don't think people see Melo as washed up yet. I just think they see him and OKC as a bad fit. Okay? Me, I just think Melo's about washed. I mean, he's being treated as if he's still a top player, a decent player. I'd say he's probably got three more years. I mean, to me, I'd give him two more at the most. Okay, if I was deciding on his play. But nonetheless, you got to assume that he's 34 right now. I don't know, him playing at 37 just seems far out there. Okay. I'd say maybe he's got two more years at the most, I'd say. All right, if he plays till he's 27, then, I mean, the dude's had one of the best careers ever as far as the NBA goes. Okay? But, nonetheless, I mean, yeah. Schroeder over at the Thunder, I like it. Okay? And I think Melo with the Rockets would be fine, but of course we got to wait and see if he does actually end up going there. All right. But nonetheless, like I said, I mean, yesterday we had Kawhi Leonard. Today we get Carmelo Anthony. I think this might be it as far as big trades and all in the offseason as far as big news. All right. Because I don't think Capella is back with the Rockets yet, but I think he will end up going back there. And, I mean, the rest is all guys who, yeah, they got decent names, but nothing really going to, I guess, shock us or anything like that going forward. So, I don't know. Maybe we do get a crazy trade here or there. But nonetheless, all right, now we move over to golf. Tiger Woods today finished at shooting 71. All right, finished even for the day. Let me look at the current scores table right now. All right, so we got Kevin Kisner in first at 5 under. Eric Van Rooyen in second, tied for second at 4 under. All right, let's see. You got Rory McIlroy tied at 8th, 2 under, done for the day. And I think pretty much everyone, like as I'm recording this, is now done for the day. And then, like I said, you got Tiger tied for 32nd at even. All right. Over the year, I've been paying attention to Tiger, seeing what works for him and what doesn't. His biggest problem all year long has been his first two rounds have pretty much set him back. All right, because every time he makes the cut, his Saturday and Sunday rounds tend to go pretty well. Okay? But it's all for nothing because of the fact that he set himself so far back on Thursday and Friday. If Tiger could keep it under par, or at least even, for these first two rounds, and I mean, he's off to a good start right now, then he does have a real good chance at winning this. Okay? I mean, because we've seen Tiger Woods, if he was done, we'd know. Okay? Tiger is, he's still got something left in the tank, but it's a matter of can he do it for 4 days? Okay, we've seen him do it for two, but like I said, the first two are the ones where he usually struggles. He's off to a good start. He's only 5 strokes off the lead right now. Let's say Tiger ends up getting into the third round at maybe 2 under. All right. He's got a real legitimate shot at winning this whole tournament. And I think he can do it. All right. This Thursday round right here was big for him. And I mean, like I said, tomorrow is going to be the one where he's either going to have an actual chance or it's just going to be one where he's going to set himself back too much. All right. But nonetheless, he does have a chance. And if Tiger ends up taking this, I mean, golf's going to erupt. I think the sports world will erupt. Probably be the biggest, one of the biggest stories of the year. All right. As far as on the field type stuff. I mean, we haven't seen Tiger win a major in years. Okay. And if he gets one, everyone's going to be, oh, how many more can he get? All right. So we'll see what ends up happening with Tiger Woods. But nonetheless, off to a decent start. Like I said, finished the round at even. All right. 71 for the day. Tomorrow finishes at 2 under. Like I said, don't sleep on Tiger winning this tournament. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast, and I just want to start off this segment by saying, I mean, basically, Carmelo Anthony is just about a genius, man. All right. The guy had probably the worst year of his career last season, but nonetheless, looks like the Hawks are going to be buying him out for his entire $27.9 million deal that's left for this year. All right. I mean, the dude is going to be getting paid $28 million, basically, to go play wherever he wants. And, I mean, it's a good life that he's living, all right? He's getting paid $28 million to go maybe over to Houston and possibly, who knows, go knock off the Warriors, which I don't foresee happening, but nonetheless, I mean, they could be thinking about it. All right, or you could just go play in Miami, make the playoffs there, enjoy the Miami area for your season, and pretty much, I mean, he'd be the face of that team. All right. I'm sure that could get Dwayne Wade to come play for another year. I know they're all big buddies. All right. I mean, Carmelo Anthony's sitting in a real good spot right now. All right. And people may think I don't like Carmelo Anthony. That's not the case. I just don't think he's a very good player anymore. All right. But as far as Carmelo Anthony, the person, I mean, the dude's a genius. All right. The way he's gone through his NBA career, ego and all, regarded as a Hall of Famer, seems pretty content on the fact that he's won Olympic gold medals instead of titles. I mean, if you're happy with that, more power to you. Okay. Carmelo Anthony, definitely. Very smart businessman. All right. And I mean, if you're Melo, I mean, at this point in career, how important is getting a championship? Okay. If history has steered us right, Melo goes to sign with the Heat, doesn't he? I mean, I figure. You go to the Heat, you're the number one, you're the face of that team. All right, and you go to the Rockets, you do get to play with Chris Paul, who is also a buddy of theirs. But nonetheless, just a matter of what he wants. His goal is a championship, then you go to the Rockets. If your goal isn't a championship, then you go to the Heat. Okay. So we'll see what ends up happening, but nonetheless, Dennis Schroeder at OKC. I like it. I like OKC a whole lot better than I did last season. Okay? I think this Oklahoma City team is better. Granted, it is minus Melo, added Schroeder, but either way, I think they've gotten better. Okay? And like I said, I do think Melo leaving the Thunder and the Thunder trading Melo is best for both parties here. Okay? This was just never going to work out. Sam Presti, he tried. All right? And I will give him that. I will give GMs that. Okay? You see the Warriors out here signing Kevin Durant and all. At least try to at least combat it and show that you're basically not falling to a knee and bowing before them. Okay. So I'll never hate on a GM for trying to do their job. All right. Was it a bad move? Of course. But nonetheless, I mean, he did his best. Okay. So then we got Michael Porter Jr. had a second back surgery. All right. But the good news is he is not, I guess, expected to miss the season. All right, there's no real time on his return, but nonetheless is not expected to miss the season from what I've saw. All right. And I mean, the dude's been dealing with injuries for the better part of the last year and a half, I'd say. All right, missed pretty much his entire season at Missouri except for the last three games, which was two in the SEC tournament and one in the NCAA tournament. Didn't really do much there. I mean, he was probably honestly better off not playing at all this season. I think if he doesn't play once this season in the NCAA, then he is a top five pick in the draft. All right, because there was more hype surrounding the mystery of the player that he was and all that. I mean, coming out of high school, he was regarded as, I mean, a guy who would be a top five pick. So I think if he doesn't play, then everyone's still kind of got Michael Porter Jr. from coming out of high school in their mind rather than the guy that we saw with Missouri for those three games. All right, because then he ends up falling to number 14. Granted, he did fall to a pretty decent spot where you're going to be playing with the Denver Nuggets. I mean, that core going forward is going to be real nice. But nonetheless, I mean, probably lost a little bit of money playing for Missouri in those few games. Okay. But I have no problem with him coming out. I mean, probably just wanted to show that he could still ball or whatever. All right. But he did take an incredible amount of shots when he was out there. Okay. So, I mean, now, I don't think really the Nuggets are in a rush to get him back or anything like that. I think they'd be perfectly fine with him sitting out the entire season. All right, because I'm not sure that they figured they'd be getting a guy of his caliber of play at this point, at this pick at number 14. I mean, going forward, you could, if you would like, run the starting five. I mean, they got a few different combinations they could go with, okay? You could go with starting five of Isaiah Thomas, Jamal Murray moving Gary Harris to the 3, and then Millsap and Jokic at 4 and 5. Or you could go with what I think they should, Jamal Murray at the 1, Harris at the 2, Will Barton at the 3. Okay. Millsap at 4, and then Jokic at 5. And I mean, there's no knowing either if they would have started Michael Porter Jr. if he was going to be ready to start the season too. So I guess there's that. But nonetheless, I mean, that's pretty much all that's going on in the NBA, like I said. Over in the NFL, we got the Ravens who reported for training camp today. Actually, I think they reported yesterday. We had the Bears reporting today. All right. But over in the MLB, Mike Trout not being promoted enough has become a real hot topic. Okay? So much so that, I mean, there's been questions surrounding the relationship between the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and Mike Trout himself. Okay? And I mean, I'm not sure how much I buy into the whole, the MLB is just so bad right now as far as ratings and stuff that they can't market. Because, I mean, Bryce Harper is probably the face of baseball right now. Okay? You're walking down the street, you know who Bryce Harper is. I don't think you could say that for most people, Mike Trout. Okay? But, of course, I think some of this, too, says, I mean, I think Manfred's pretty much pointing to the fact that if Trout wanted to be marketed more, he needs to allow it. Okay. Mike Trout's more of a guy who, it seems from what I've seen and all that, is more of a guy who doesn't want to be in the big spotlight. So, I mean, the point is, I mean, Mike Trout, I think it's both. I don't know. If Mike Trout's not wanting to be marketed as much as a Bryce Harper or anything like that, then there's nothing much MLB could do. Okay. But, I mean, that guy's kind of sneaky because the guy is one of the greatest baseball players. He's on his way to being one of the greatest of all time. All right. And, I mean, I guess this is just one where it's pretty much a wash here. I don't think anyone's really to blame here. All right. Mike Trout, if he wanted to be marketed more, should put himself out there more. And I think the MLB's got to do their job, though, to work with him also. Okay? But nonetheless, I mean, I guess if Trout's comfortable being where he's at and the MLB's comfortable not promoting him or anything like that, then there's nothing really here to talk about. Okay? And I think one thing that doesn't help, too, is the fact that Trout's always playing on a bad team. All right? Right now, I mean, the Angels are... I think they're like right under 500 or right at 500. So yeah, they're right above 500 actually at 49 and 48. They're 6 games back of the A's. So I mean, as far as their playoff chances, there's no such thing. Okay. And looking at the Mariners, I mean, they're 58 and 39, but they got a minus 2 run differential. Okay. Among the Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, themselves, the Indians and A's, I mean, the teams who have a legitimate shot at making the playoffs, they got the worst run differential by far. Okay. I mean, you got the Red Sox at 100 plus 163. Yankees at plus 131. Astros at plus 188. Indians at plus 82. The A's at plus 24. And then you got the Mariners at minus 2. Alright. Maybe the Mariners not as good as we thought. Alright. Could they be frauds? Who knows? We'll see once the second part of the season starts. Alright. And I do think the A's are going to be... taking over for the Mariners in that second wildcard spot. So, we'll see what ends up happening there. But, nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Today, we talked Julio Jones. We talked Marcus Smart, Kawhi Leonard, Carmelo Anthony, Tiger Woods in the Open, some MLB news, and some more NBA stuff. So, thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Like I said, I won't be here tomorrow, so I'll be back on Monday. So stay tuned till then, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.